Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Hey, thanks for listening to the last show. We had a great time, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Jody Havnot.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Yar, Squiddy. I got nothing against you. I just heard there was gold in your belly.
We did that. I like that one.
I didn't recognize that one.
What was it? The Simpsons. Oh, the sea cat is fighting a squid.
Good. Simpsons are always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you guys have never listened to this show, this is Podcast Rock City, and we just basically do the week in Kiss news, and then we pick a topic and we talk about it. We have a lot of fun. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys, if you can, go to iTunes and leave us a review. It will be helpful in our standings and moves us up in the podcast ratings and everything. Also, if you ever want to send us a message, it's podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. I won't make Andrew say that's the number one. That's your Christmas present.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, podcastrockcity1, the number one, at gmail.com. And you can go to podcastrockcity.com and also check out our website. We have a lot of fun on there. The news this week, man, there's a little bit of it. There's not a ton of stuff, but a couple of the things that I cherry-picked were kind of cool. If you have money and you would like to bid on one of Eric Singer's stage-played drum kits from the Kiss Cruise 5, you can go to kissonline.com right now, and there's a whole story on it and how to go about it. Man, I don't know, man. I'd like to own a Pearl set, played by Eric Singer. What about you guys?
I'm sure they're going to want an arm and a leg, and I prefer Tama drums.
Oh, really?
I do.
Yeah, I think it starts off at like $7,000, so.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It'd be cool to own if I was like a millionaire. But I'd be more interested in having, like, Peter Criss kit, honestly.
You know what, though? If it's double, and I believe it is double kick, and I didn't look at all the specs, but if it also has, like, those LED lit up Kiss logos on the kick drums, that's pretty badass, too. You didn't like that?
I think it looks stupid, just like the clear, like, how the drums are see-through or whatnot. I just think
it's like a Vista light. Yeah, those are cool. Those Ludwig ones are cool from the 70s.
The Ludwigs.
Dude, they sound great.
I don't know. It feels like he's playing a Tupperware drum set. It just looks weird.
Yeah. I prefer wood all day, but I wouldn't.
So I bet you do. That's a personal thing you're talking about right there.
Dude, in the morning.
I got to say real quick, it was fucking hilarious on the Kiss Room when you said, all I heard was, I want to plug it in. Turn around.
Yeah.
I was literally on the train listening, and I started laughing. All these people turned back and look at me like, who's this crazy dude?
He did say it, right?
Yes, it was funny, man. You had me rolling.
I made sure that I, anyway. So that's pretty cool. If you buy them, if you're out there and you listen to the show and you buy them, make sure you send us pictures because it would be awesome to see. I'm from Miami, okay? And the Miami Sound Machine, when I was living in Miami, was like the biggest group. Gloria Estefan, you know, come on, check your body, you know, that thing. Anyway, she was on The View, her and her husband, right? And they were showing her grandson. And they go, what's the deal with your grandson? She goes, oh, my God. Last year he saw Kiss on the Macy's parade, and ever since then, it's Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. They showed him, right? He's probably 4 years old, but he was all decked out in jeans costume, you know, singing Kiss tunes. Like, they brought video, and I was like, how awesome is that, you know, that Gloria Estefan, you know, you would expect her to go, no, 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 you're not listening to Kiss. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But, except for Dark Light.
Yeah. That's funny.
For the Latin feel.
But, yeah, man, she's like, oh, he loves Kiss. And, you know, it's been a whole year of Kiss and Kiss and Kiss. And then in the thing, you know, he's singing the songs. And it was really amazing. I thought it was pretty funny. If you haven't seen that, that's on kissonline.com as well. You know, I always like it when we get to see video of of little kids that are into Kiss, but man, it's different when you see like a famous person's like daughter or son or grandchild. I don't know why, but it just feels different.
It's cool.
It is. Let's see. One more thing. Paul, Kiss opened another Rockin' Brews in San Antonio. I hope you guys are going, and I hope you're having fun at that. And did you guys happen to see Paul sang the national anthem?
I haven't seen it yet. How was it?
It wasn't bad. You know, it was one of those things where...
Did he remember the words, at least?
He remembered the words.
Okay.
But,
Above those motherfuckers.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, man, if he would have messed up, I might not have known.
Right.
You know? I don't know all the words, you know, personally. I couldn't go up there and do it unless I had a monitor. But it was really strange because he said, you know, he talked before he sang. It was almost like he tried to get everybody to sing along, and you know, and I was like, wow, this seems like a cover. You know, like if everybody sings, then I don't have to be so great, you know, type of deal.
But all those times doing the rock and roll national anthem, and now he's doing the actual national anthem.
Have you guys ever seen him sing it before?
Nah, but I've never seen it before.
Yeah,
you've seen it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have liked to have, I bet he was wishing he could have sang it, you know, back when he was, you know, maybe like around Revenge or something when his voice was
there. Yeah, when he could when he can belt it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. I'm curious, does he sing it in a lower key or what?
Seemed like it, yeah.
Okay. Like Phantom style?
Yes.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But at least he got it. Did he, like, divide the crowd and, you know, do that thing before he sang
He's
it?
He's like, yeah, that's funny. Yes. No, he did not, but I wish he had.
Wild animals on the floor, salute your country.
Yes, I don't know what I would do without Andrew. Anyway.
He's a keeper.
Just fine.
He's a keeper. He absolutely is.
Stop it.
Okay, so with the news out of the way, you guys have anything else?
Oh,
you guys hear anything else?
I heard Kiss announced they're going to do a record.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I heard that too, but I didn't see it officially like on a page or anything.
I saw it on the internet last night somewhere.
All right. Well, there you go. Awesome.
But, you know, you can't always believe all those stupid websites either. But, yeah, I think I heard somewhere that Kiss is going to do a record this coming year. So that's fucking cool.
Well, that is really awesome. And if you guys are listening and you want to write some good music, contact Jody Havnot or Joe Polo and we'll help you write. And, oh, yeah. I forgot about it. Dear douchebag Joe, why did you leave Andrew Kiss out? Anyway, we had a little technical difficulties, but we're back. We're back. Okay. My stupid phone rang. Anyway, everybody knows, don't call me when I'm busy with my boys.
Yep.
And that means Andrew and Jody. Nothing dirty. Okay, so okay.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mr. Polo?
Yes. It wouldn't take much.
Oh no.
I'm sexy.
Anyway. Laura, man, like Spider-Man DVDs.
That's funny. Anyway, okay, so you guys said you heard it on the Kiss Room, right?
Yes, sir.
So the Kiss Room says Kiss has a new record coming out, and Andrew Kiss is writing songs for it.
Mm. Yeah.
Not Joe or Jody.
Well, all three of us.
They're going to be very heavy now.
Mm. A lot of double kick.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
That would.
So okay, so if they put out another record, what's the one condition that needs to happen? Paul Stanley
producer.
Does not produce it. Okay, yeah,
outside
we're all,
producer.
We're on.
So who would you guys want? Ezrin? You want what? Eddie Kramer?
Final record, Ezrin.
You think it'll be the final record?
Final record for these guys, probably.
Actually, no, Brendan Small, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think they should bring in, like, Ezrin one last time. Just
sober.
I don't care if he does a bunch of coke. I just
one last hurrah.
Let's see. Okay, so our topic this week.
Wait, before we do that, because yes. I want to give a shout out.
Shout it.
I will, out loud, to... to Mike, who I met at my local watering hole Shakers on Spears and Kerr, we got to talking, and I told him I was into Kiss podcast, and we were geeking out about Kiss for an hour, so wow. That was really awesome.
Cool.
Did he buy you any drinks?
No, he didn't, but he talked to me, because normally I just sit there and watch the TV, so he was friendly.
That is awesome. Now you got a friend.
Mm-hmm. Then he said he had some candy, and I went to, no, I'm kidding, don't worry. But yeah, he was a really cool dude. Like, he used to box just like I did, so like we were talking about that, and yeah, so Mike, if you're listening, how's it going? And
hello,
hopefully
Mike.
You're digging the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's pretty awesome. And you have like 86 that you can go back and listen to if you're a big Kiss fan and catch up. You know, I told the story on the Kiss
Room. We're going to do the show nude.
All right. No, I told the story on the Kiss Room about, but I don't remember if I ever told it on our show about how I went into Walmart and met the guy from the Kiss crew. Did I?
No. First I heard it was on that Kiss Room the other
night. Yeah, man. So I was in Walmart in this little town called Ackworth, Georgia. It's like tiny. It's like it's practically it's right next door to where Chris Sinzak and I grew up. And I mean, I'm just standing there and this guy comes walking up to me and he says, "Hey man, I like your Kiss tattoos. Is that your car out there with the Kiss logo on it?" And I go, "Yeah." And he pulled his shirt down. And he had Gene tattooed on his chest. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm a big Kiss fan." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I do a show called Podcast Rock City." And he pulled out his phone. He went and subscribed immediately, right?
Cool.
That's awesome.
And then so I'm talking to him. And he goes, "Do you know who I am?" And I go, "No, I'm sorry, I don't." And he goes, when Kiss had a contest to hire a veteran – for the, I believe it was the Motley show, it might have been Def Leppard tour. He goes, "I'm the one that got picked." And he goes, "I would love to come on your show. So I'm going to work that out." And
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
It would be really cool. You know, a roadie, he did the whole tour. And he was on the Today Show and shit like that. So that's pretty awesome.
With the Motley Kiss tour?
I believe it was the Motley.
No, it was the Def Leppard.
It was one of them. I know. I can't remember exactly which because I was so freaked out by the fact that, I mean, my little town that was where the guy was picked from, you know, it's just like.
Small world,
you know. So anyway, let's go ahead and go on with the topic of this week, December the 20th, will be Peter Criss's 70th birthday. So we're going to do Peter Criss's birthday. He's going to be 70 years old on the 20th. He was born in 1945, which means he is older than my mother.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird to me. I don't know why, man. But Peter, you know, he was always the oldest member, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. Still is.
Still is. So everything Peter Criss for the show. What do you guys, you know, it's Peter. Everybody loves Peter Criss, right?
You gotta love him, but you can't. I'm not a big fan of any of his solo shit, like post Kiss.
Right.
I love him in Kiss, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Agreed. You know, but I, you know, and I'll always say that I love the Kiss solo album they did because it, even though it wasn't any, it didn't sound like Kiss. It's still, I always thought it's good music. It's not like it was total shit. You know, it's not like, you know, his solo albums that he did after he left Kiss weren't half that good to me.
Yeah, not at all. It's all just kind of icky.
I don't know. I guess it's because I kind of have, I like that old school, you know, no pun intended, old school rock and stuff like that. And, you know, I really, you know,
plus that was the first one you ever had.
It was the first record I ever had. And what do you guys think about, Peter Criss's importance to the band? I mean, I honestly don't think that they could have had another drummer at the beginning. You know, Peter's attitude and style really added a lot to the band. You agree?
Well, yeah, like Paul always rips on him for saying he didn't write any good songs or didn't write much of anything. But like the way his drumming was, like it added quite a bit of a, you know, since he was a swing drummer, so it added something that made Kiss stand out a lot more. You know what I mean? Like if they had a like a Phil Rudd or something in there, I don't think Kiss would have the same place in history as they do now.
Yeah.
So almost like he subtly changed the band. Like he didn't write many songs, but yeah, it wouldn't be the same without him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, and you listen to his playing, you know, man, there's a lot of times where if you really pay attention, there's a lot of ride patterns going on, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of, he does a lot of work with his hi-hat, you know. It's mm-hmm. not your typical, you know, when I listen to AC/DC, I, you know, you don't really hear the toms used at all.
No, okay. It's just snare and
it's four on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and, know.
Like, Peter Criss is far away from that. That's what I love about Peter Criss. Mm-hmm. Like those early songs without those fills, like imagine if the, like something like Watching You and they just played a straight beat through that, it just wouldn't work. Yeah. It's like Peter, you know,
or Parasite, like, you know,
right,
they just, like, that's a very scat sort of drumming, but just like if they had a more generic drum tone, I don't think it'd be have the same impact as it does now.
Yeah, like those original songs needed those original drum parts, and no one else would have came up with those except Peter Criss, you know.
Right.
I mean, someone else might have came up with some type of fill, but it wouldn't be that fill, you know what I mean, that is perfect.
Right. And you know, you always hear about how many guitar players tried out for Kiss, but I mean, I, you know, I don't know, did they ever try out any other drummers other than Peter Criss?
I've never heard of any other drummer stories. You always just hear about, you know, they called Peter on the phone and asked him all those random questions, and then,
are you willing to wear a dress?
You want me to wear a dress, you bald back?
Oh, fuck off.
I'll do anything.
Fuck word. Pom-pom skirt the whole 9 yards, motherfucker.
But it's like, yeah, you never hear anything. And then, you know, they were really happy with Peter Criss because, fuck, they were a three-piece for a while until they got, you know, solid enough to bring in a lead guitar player, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's very important to the band. Yeah. And without Peter Criss, you wouldn't even have the Catman. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah,
you wouldn't have that iconic thing because he created it. You know?
Yeah. I think one of the craziest things that we learned this year, the three of us and the listeners to this show, was that Peter's album wasn't the worst selling out of the four albums, the solo albums. You know?
That is kind of mind boggling.
It still mm-hmm. is. Every once in a while, I think about it and I go, "How did this happen?" You know?
I think it's because people, I don't know, you always just associate Paul as being the lead singer, so you're like, well, I'll get that one last because I know what to expect from that.
Right.
That one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think most people bought Gene first. I know I did. Just because it's Gene Simmons, you know? And the whole promise of some awesome rock album, which, you know, doesn't really hold up to that standard, but still. Yeah. I think most bought it first because of that.
On Facebook, and I just glanced at it. I didn't get a lot of time to look at it. So if you're out there, I'm sorry if you're the one that posted it. But somebody posted that Gene Simmons, when he put out his solo album, he had a, I know this is off the, you know, subject, but we'll get back. He posted he had a party, when a listening party, for when he put out his solo album in the 70s, and it was, I guess by looking at the invitation, it was only to listen to When You Wish Upon a Star. And like Adam Rich from Eight Is Enough was there, and Brooke Shields was there. All these, there was tons of actors and actresses there, and Gene's all in makeup, and they're all, you know.
Wow.
It was really crazy. And there was even an invitation that they showed the picture of, and it was, Pinocchio was there too.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there was in the invitation, I mean, I'm sure this is all real, because it'd be too bizarre, you know, for somebody just to go and make, but it was Pinocchio like working the Gene Simmons as a puppet.
Really?
And it said, you know, join Gene Simmons to hear his, you know, rendition of When You Wish Upon a Star. It was really crazy.
That was really crazy.
I was like, I wish I'd have been there as some video or something.
Wow, that's,
but, yeah, I'm guessing that's where the famous picture of Gene and Brooke came from, where she was sticking her tongue out.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, Peter George John Criscola, born December 20th, 1945. He is 70 years old. You know, George John. Peter George John.
Yeah.
That's Italiano.
See?
See? You know, I always loved the Second Coming where he's trying to get his boots made and that Italian bootmaker, you know?
Yeah.
Ironically, his name is Geppetto. And...
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It's true or not. But anyway, and he starts talking about Criscola. You know, that was some funny stuff. Yeah, I remember that. Peter really is into his being Italian, isn't he?
What's that?
He's really into being Italian. He talks about it all the time. You know,
yeah, he does.
You know, it. So what do you guys think, like, when it comes to his solo album? I mean, there's nothing on it that you guys like. There's nothing that you can stomach or.
I like a couple songs, but I never really listened to them. I like
Matters to me. Yeah, it's all right.
Hooked on Rock and Roll is pretty cool, and I really like that version on the Kiss Room the other day. It's pretty kick ass, man.
Yeah, if you guys get a chance, go and listen to the last episode of the Kiss Room for 2015. They do a monthly show. They're friends of ours, and they're on the Podkist Network. Anyway, okay, so Peter Criss, the iconic Catman. You know, even in the IMDb like thing, you know, he was in a movie in 2009. I had no idea. It was so insignificant. I didn't even write down the name, but it had a few stars in it. I was looking at it and I was going, man, I had no idea he did a movie after Oz. You know, it was Oz. You remember he did that TV show on HBO, right? And then after that, in 2009, he did a movie.
Oh, well, I never heard about the movie.
It said he played a guy named Mike.
An Italian named Mike.
Of course.
I'm Mike.
Mike. Go ahead.
I watched this great interview earlier about with Peter, and he was talking about movies, like horror movies, and he was saying how he cannot watch The Exorcist at home alone because he freaks out. And then he was telling the story of like him and Ace, like on the first Kiss tour when like Texas Chainsaw came out, they were bored and Ace saw it in the like newspaper, so they go down to watch Texas Chainsaw and they couldn't even make it through it. And they ran out like all freaked out and shit. It's just pretty interesting to hear Peter talk about movies. He, like, loves the Saw series, and he was saying how he loves torture and all this shit.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I never really thought of that side of Peter, you know? It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Totally off the subject, but...
No, actually, you know, we're talking... Still Peter Criss.
Now it's on the subject.
Now, of course, you know, Jody brought up something this morning, and we can't, obviously, have a conversation about Peter Criss without talking about the infamous story where a homeless dude basically got put in the hospital and told them that he was Peter Criss. So, of course, they put the wristband on him, right, that said Peter Criss. And then Roseanne Arnold and Tom Arnold, who's Roseanne Barr, everybody knows her, Roseanne, whatever. She changed her name 50 times, right? Like Prince.
Roseanne Cougar Mellencamp.
Yes. And, you know, they were big Kiss fans, and they heard that Peter was homeless. So they went and rescued this guy and, you know, I guess put him up somewhere. And then Donahue, there was the famous Donahue, where Peter and this guy went face to face.
Yeah, it's fucking classic.
It is classic. You know,
Peter's all mad and shit. It's cool.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get a chance to rewatch it, and Jody, you did watch it, right?
Yeah, I watched it this morning at like 5 in the morning.
Okay, so here's my question. Did he or did he not? I'm going back in the, you know, my memory banks, which, you know, are all hazy, but did he or did he not say that his mom passed away not knowing that Peter wasn't homeless?
No, the whole star thing happened when Peter's mom had died, and he was at the funeral, and all these people kept coming up to him going, oh my God, we had heard you were homeless on the Star magazine and all this stuff.
I had that, man. I had that. And the Inquirer were the ones that broke the story. You see, I always remembered
it the other way. Peter was like super pissed about it.
And blonde.
For a good reason.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was like, I remember them, him, you know, people talking about the tattoos, and he's like, everybody knows my tattoos. Well, I have a tattoo on my chest, and everybody's like, a drum.
Right. Yeah, because there was this woman that was there that had took in this, what was his name? I don't know, the guy that was impersonating Peter was staying with this chick because she said that she had been with Peter for like 5 months in like 81 or something, and she didn't even know that this guy wasn't Peter Criss. And so everyone was like reaming her because she was obviously lying, you know. And
I mean,
Peter's
that's
like 81.
That's some real life shit, you know.
It was like a really drama filled episode, dude. I hadn't watched it since, like, I've seen it when it was new, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I haven't really watched it since. I've seen the little clips about it, but hadn't sat down and watched the whole episode. And it was very, like, very Springer-esque, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Andrew, really crazy.
And before we started talking about this, had you ever heard of this before, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I read Peter's book, too, and,
oh,
like,
right.
he was talking
right.
about
yeah,
that.
He talked
but,
about
yeah.
that. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, on the, that seems to be one of the most bizarre things.
It's very strange.
You know? I mean...
It's like the guy looks nothing like Peter Criss, and everyone... No one would really believe that it was.
You know,
except this woman was just trying to get publicity out of it.
Yeah, basically. Absolutely. And also, when you see this guy, he kind of looks like a woman.
Kinda, yeah. It kind of reminds me of that, like that movie Monster. You ever seen that?
Yes.
That chick, like Eileen Wuornos or whatever.
Yes, you're right. He looks like a girl, or you know, just like an older woman. It's just, and then you know, he kept saying, "I'm Peter Criss," which is really bizarre, man. It's like when the real Joe Polo is sitting across from you, stop saying, "I'm Joe."
Yeah,
you know, it's like gigs up, man.
Pretty surreal. And the greatest thing of the whole episode, though, this woman was claiming that she had been with Peter Criss for like, you know, together with him for like 5 months. And what's her name? Deborah Jensen, his wife at the time, stood up and said something. And Peter's like, "And just to be clear, please look at you and look at my wife. Come on now." It was fucking classic.
That
was my favorite part.
That is awesome.
He just laid it on the line, like, "Please,
yeah,
look
she
at my
was
wife
hot
and
too.
Look at you." I know.
Yeah, she was hot.
She's probably my pick for the hottest one of his wives.
Yeah, you know, we always forget about her when we talk about the Kiss wives and girlfriends.
Right.
But you
and
know,
she was on Playboy.
Yeah.
She was like a Playboy bunny.
But, yeah, there's pictures of her like in bikinis and stuff online, and woo.
Yeah.
She had it going on, Peter. Way to go. Nice job. He ain't listening.
That's the copper tone model too, right?
Right, yeah.
Right on. She's
that's,
hot.
That's hotness.
Or was at least.
So let's talk about Kiss Meets the Phantom as well, because you know you always hear that the reason why they had to replace Peter's voice, you always hear two different things. You always hear one, he wouldn't show up to do the lines over the top, you know?
Yeah.
Like but they also said that you couldn't understand what he was saying when he talked. And I don't know that I believe that, you know?
I don't believe that.
Because I listened to him. He stood right next to me and talked to me, and I never one time went, "Excuse me, can you go get the guy that plays Fred from Scooby-Doo to talk for you? Because I can't understand what you're saying."
Right.
Like, it was pretty clear. And, you know, but
it's
I mean...
weird type of person.
The whole aura surrounding Peter Criss is really strange, isn't it? I mean, it's just drama.
He's definitely the bad boy of Kiss,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
As much as Ace wants to be, I don't know if Peter doesn't like take the
Peter takes the cake,
Peter
I believe.
Takes the cake, man.
He's just so wild and cool.
Look, it would never occur to me that if Andrew was sitting down at a table to walk over and just put my dick on his shoulder.
Right.
I would never in a million years think, you know what I'm going to do.
And then would Andrew think to kiss it?
To kiss it? No, I don't think so.
It's like both of those guys are pretty fucking
what
crazy.
What the hell? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just like that's the type of thing, you know. So, well, you know, let's go ahead
put
and tell
some
the
garnish on it.
The
I got a Peter Criss question for you fellas.
All right.
Okay. You know,
lay it on me, string bean.
Right. Nice. Sally Weaver, right?
Yeah, you got it.
I'm a Seinfeld geek. I can't help it. But anyways.
Jeez, that was a deep cut, too. All
right. took me a second. But anyways, you know how there's this classic, iconic drum solo on Alive, and then there's his classic one on Alive 2. Which one do you prefer?
None.
Yeah.
I go with one.
I got one.
It's just a little more intricate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No diss. Like, he's a great player, but just I've mentioned before how much my distaste for guitar and drum solos, like, as you know, on their own.
Yeah, yeah,
filler.
Boring. Like, let's get another track in there.
Yeah, two tracks.
Mm-hmm.
For the first one.
Yeah.
How cool was it, though, that he put, like, the flange on his snare drum and...
Love that. You think that was his idea? I doubt that.
I don't know, man. But, you know, with...
Sounds really cool.
With the right producers around, they're doing that. But it does sound cool.
Sounds great.
You know? And, you know, I can't honestly say that I ever heard somebody do that before. Have you?
No, I've heard people do it after, obviously, but never before.
Yeah, I don't think I could pin down anything that came before that that had it that I could think of.
Yeah, man. You know, if he did come up with that idea, that's pretty badass.
He did a steel drum sample on the drums. This is very
I always felt that he does kind of have like this. I don't know, when I was a kid, I'd listen to that live, and I just listened to it live, like, front to back, and he does kind of cop this jungle feel, I think. You know what I mean? It's very tribal.
Yeah, it's not that was popular, typical... though. That was popular. I mean, listen to the drum solo in Agata Da Vida, which was, like, one of the most iconic 45-minute drum solos of all time. You know, going back to The Simpsons, I remember that Bart Simpson one time woke up and to the alarm going off, and it was the radio, and it was like, and now the extended version of the drum solo of Inagata Da Vida, which is really funny. But the you know, you listen to that, it's a lot of straight kick drum, do, 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 and then right. And then just, you know, tribal drums played over the top, you know. But if you listen to Peter, man, he's got some skills, you know. It's just a different kind of skill than the modern drummer. Agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think it's kind of more interesting because a lot of people don't do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a different feel. It's kind of like Max Roach or Buddy Rich, you know? It's,
yeah. You know, it's fucking awesome. If you've never seen Buddy Rich play, you know, good Lord, go online and watch that dude.
Dude, no shit.
Yeah. You know,
let me ask.
Yeah?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, let me ask you guys if, like, after Kiss, could you see him doing a Letterman gig? Because I always picture him as like a late night drummer. I think that would have been something really cool for him to do.
I think that he could have filled in perfectly fine on a Letterman gig. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he could have been Johnny Carson's drummer easily.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul's already got his monologue for how many people like vodka and orange juice, so...
And you know that Johnny Carson was a drummer.
Really?
Yeah, Johnny Carson was a drummer. There's an episode where he went, I think he battled Buddy Rich on his show.
Damn.
And
quiet, please. I'm trying to do this fill.
Good one. And
I love Andrew's fucking impersonations, man.
Anyway.
Yes, man. That Paul Stanley you did last week was spot on.
No. I can't replicate it.
But also, if you go online, Buddy Rich did a drum solo against Jerry Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys get a chance. And the reason why we're mentioning this is because it'll give you an idea. If what you listen to now is Eric Singer and Eric Carr and everything after them, you know, you're missing out on, like, a great style. You know, there's a lot of style with Peter Criss. You know, that's the whole reason why we're talking about this and the other drummers is, you know, Peter wasn't a rock drummer at all. I mean, you know,
I think it's like all drummers post Bonham are a certain way, but Peter was doing his thing before Bonham, so he has that a different old school feel, like Max Roach, Buddy Rich, you know, Krupa, right. All those guys. It's a different. It's like you were saying, a totally different, totally different approach. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like I said, it's just so much more touch and so much more style, and that's the, you know. But if you watch Kiss Alive, the video, you know, man, that's Peter Criss being a rock drummer. You know, he's hitting those drums, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, like if you watch some old videos from 75 or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's
he's killing it.
He's attacking the drums. You know, he's not. He's not, you know, being so graceful. It's really, One of those things, you know. I love Peter Chris. Happy birthday, my brother. I it's one of those things where everybody has that special little spot. Sometimes you get angry, you know, because Peter is Peter, but at the other time you're like, man, but thank God we had him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I still wish he would just do this rock album that we've all been salivating for like 30 years. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Oh, no.
Well, we should all write him and tell him that we'll write the album. He just has to play drums on it.
I don't even care about those drums. I want his, like, raspy, badass Black Diamond voice.
Oh, God, that would be so much fun.
On, like, 12 kick-ass rock tunes. And then I could die happy.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Don't hold your breath on that one.
Now, I want to talk about one other thing. Do you have anything else to add about Peter Chris before we move forward?
Nope.
He's the one true Catman.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Number one.
Catman number one.
Catman
number one. I always thought his name sounded like if Coke had a crystal drink. Because I know they had Crystal Pepsi, but Peter Chris Cola just sounds like a crystal.
And it would have to be a Coke product, obviously.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, just like
I've said Chris Cola my whole life and never thought Coke, Chris Cola.
Chris Cola, that's what it says. I get thirsty every time I hear his name.
He's the dust-covered, silver-nosed tomcat.
He is. Nice one.
Run away from the devil bat, but anyway.
The dust-nosed tomcat.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Peter Chris. We love you. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to our favorite part of the show, and it's called
Ask Andrew.
Now, it kind of goes with today's topic. I got a letter from Nathan Holland. He's a big fan of the band, of the show, and he sent us a Ask Andrew question. Are you ready?
Yes, awesome.
Goes right along with today. And the question
is, convenient.
What is your favorite song off of Peter Criss's 1978 solo album?
You Matter to Me.
Okay, nobody has any clue why we're laughing.
I honestly don't really care much about this. I guess that's it, but yeah. Me personally, I like
I Can't Stop the Rain.
Do you? That reminds me of like Stallone. I don't know why.
Oh, you mean like his brother?
Sly. I don't know. A lot of Peter Chris. I think of about. I don't know if you ever heard any of that Stallone, like Sylvester Stallone solo music shit.
Sounds. I was thinking of Al Pacino and Serpico.
Yeah,
I've mentioned that to you before, but like that's his solo album. Reminds me of that's like the soundtrack to that movie.
Totally. I think that. There's a couple of all right tracks on it, but man, everyone, I don't know. It's like he wasted this killer rock and roll voice, even on his 78 record. There's really not an instance where he really goes balls out, is there?
No. Yeah. Everything's love song and...
I guess Hooked on Rock and Roll would be the closest.
I agree.
That's the worst guitar tone I've ever heard. I'm sorry, just not for me.
Yeah, it's very stock.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean. Not to make a joke, but
it is
very.
Yeah. It's like
blah.
It's like if you get like a MacBook like for GarageBand and like you want extra guitar to play along with or on the tablatures. That's what it sounds like.
Wow,
how funny!
It's like a kids' classroom science video. And they have the music in there, or just any educational video. That's that guitar tone.
Yeah, sounds like the beginning of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, or like Bill Nye the Science Guy. If they have just
it's like a MIDI electric guitar tone. Even way pre MIDI, obviously, but it's very thin and generic stock. We call it.
The word of today is.
Stock.
Fucking stock.
Hey, man, I told you I was in a shit mood, and what are you doing? You're just picking at me
all night. Just so you throw out words like stock just because you want to get your way on a drum tone? Come on, guys. We have better things to do. Yeah, I think we do.
Right.
You know, we just like recite all the same.
Every infamous story about Peter is hilarious. I mean, you know, him putting his hand through the glass, they can't use his picture. You know, he can't do a live thing for the just Peter Criss, man. If you haven't read his book, and I can only say that I've read part of it
some wet naps if you read his book because you feel kind of dirty after.
Yes, he's insane and a lot of fun. And when I met him, man, I'm gonna make sure that I end with this. He was the sweetest, nicest person.
Deep down, he seems like a really nice, like he's got that tough New York, you know, outside. But he seems like a sweet guy.
He was very sweet, and you know, my girlfriend could not get over the fact that, you know, how nice he was, how much time he took with us, and his wife sat there and just talked to her like they were going to drink coffee later. You know, it's just really, really amazing. You know, I guess, you know, he's just at that point where
he's mellowed a fine wine.
Yes. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Jody, do you have anything to add?
Let's say, as always, thanks for listening. And hey, go to go to Strange Ways and check out my new episodes of Rock and Roll Radio.
Oh, yeah. Back to, I saw that show this morning at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I uploaded it when I got home from work.
Awesome.
Dealing with all those awesome police peoples.
Andrew, do you have anything to add?
No.
No.
One word. Well, thank you guys for listening. Listen, it's Christmas time. It means you're shopping. Go to podcastrockcity.com. You can get yourself a t-shirt, or you can click on the Amazon link, go to Amazon, and anything that you buy helps Podcast Rock City stay afloat. We appreciate you guys doing that, and you have been. It's really funny. Every time I look, I'm like, really, people shop through our website. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next week. We love listening to Kiss podcasts, and you'll hear every commercial of the shows that we enjoy right after this show. In 3, 2, 1, peace.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, Oh, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only KISS podcast that breaks down the entire KISS song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about KISS-related topics and non-KISS-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind.